Horoscope Brasa.
That's our intro.
It's the top six in your back.
Hello everyone and welcome to Horoscope Brasa present top six. This is the show where we talk about our top three picks for any movie topic that we happen to come up with that week. My name is Ras.
And I'm Jody.
Listen, Yerko, Jody. As you know, we always try to stay topical. We try to stay relevant.
Mm-hmm.
And our top six for this week, actually, it's for a good reason.
It really is.
Yeah.
So, as you guys know, gender-based violence is a major thing. And in South Africa right now, we're actually having gender-based violence awareness campaign, which ends on the 10th of December.
Yeah.
And for that reason, we thought that we do a top six on
strong female characters. I love this topic.
Love this topic. Can I also say?
Yes, you can.
Fuck any perpetrators of gender-based violence.
Yeah. I hope your dick gets chopped off with a mouth of a vicious animal.
A blunt spoon.
Yeah. And a machine gun to your head and fire, and then you drown.
After that deep dive into the recesses of Ross's mind.
No, fuck that shit, man. We're not about that life, and especially in this country, it's a way bigger problem than it should be.
Totally agreed.
But onto our top six.
Natural segue.
Natural segue. That we're all about the natural segue.
Yeah.
I really love this one because both of us really love strong female characters.
Yeah.
I think it's comes from my upbringing. I was, my mother's quite strong and she's a character.
Shout out to Russell's mommy.
So it resonates with me, right?
Yeah. I think we've been looking for an excuse to do this type of list. Just to showcase that they are legit amazing female actors, female characters out there. And even though it's still a very male-dominated world, we want to show all our love for our favorite female characters.
That's right. Let's hope they get equal pay as well.
Let's hope so.
Jody's going to kick it off for us.
Number three.
So starting off with my number three, Sergeant Rita Fritaski, a.k.a. the Full Metal Bitch.
Jeez, Jody. Take it down a notch.
I'm quoting. From Edge of Tomorrow, played by Emily Blunt. This is a very underrated sci-fi film. One of my absolute favorites. And the reason that I particularly love Emily Blunt in this film is that it stars Tom Cruise and she totally outshines the man. Totally outshines him. I think this is probably one of my favorite roles, if not my favorite role of Emily Blunt.
Mm.
And she's done amazing things like Quiet Place. She had the co-starring role in Devil Wears Prada.
Yeah.
She's been in tons of different things already. But this role for me is like, she's just next level.
Mm.
It established her as an action star. It really makes me wish also that she could have gone on to play Black Widow. Because for those who don't know, she was cast as the character and had to pull out because of a conflict in shooting schedules with other films.
Yeah.
And then it went to Scarlett Johansson, which obviously is amazing too. But I also very much do hope that they do the sequel and that she gets to continue playing this character in the sequel.
Yeah.
This is, for me, one of the absolute best action stars out there.
Right now. She really is. And in the movie itself, she's ripped.
She is not just ripped, but she convincingly pulls off all of the action scenes.
When you first introduce her, she's doing that difficult yoga pose where it's just like you balance on one hand.
Yeah, the upward cat.
Yeah. No, I think it's the sliding snake.
Yeah, she, no, that's...
Is that something else?
That's Kama Sutra.
Whoops.
She is so convincing in this role. And like I said, outshining Tom Cruise in an action film.
That is so difficult to do.
Dude.
Tom Cruise is really good in this, but she totally steals the show. I'm with you on that. Bro.
Totally, totally steals the show.
And I love this movie. She can do her own stunts for the most part.
She does her own stunts. Her character is actually essentially what Tom Cruise's character becomes. So she plays both his mentor and his partner.
Yeah.
What I love is that she has no love interest in him whatsoever throughout the whole
That's
thing.
The best part.
He falls in love with her and she just doesn't care because he's died 1,000 times. And she is so focused on the mission and she's so focused on saving the world that, that is the one thing that she goes for. And generally female characters are portrayed as these plot devices, like she's the one who would have typically needed saving or some shit like that. In this one, not at all. In fact, she encourages Tom Cruise to not prioritize her at any point, to always focus on the mission. She is badass.
Without her, he would not survive.
No. He would have died a billion deaths. Yeah. He'd be dying now.
Thank you to the Full Metal bitch.
For a contribution to society.
To cinema and society. Dope. Okay, so my number three, right, is one of the greatest characters of all time.
Of all time?
Yeah, from one of the greatest movies of all time. Mm-hmm. The second one was good.
It's okay.
It is Alan Parr. Okay. You don't know who Alan Parr is, do you?
We don't.
No, we don't, because Alan Parr is actually Elastigirl.
Oh.
From The Incredibles.
We know who that is.
Yeah, we know who that is. She's voiced by Holly Hunter. Mm-hmm. She's animated to also have that slightly
skewed drawl mouth. Thing. Yeah,
her mouth is slightly skewed.
Yeah.
And they animated her based on Holly Hunter.
That's insane attention to detail.
That's dope. So the reason why I like Elastigirl so much is because she's just a mom trying to take care of her kids, you know, in the first movie. She doesn't know that Bob is off
gallivanting,
doing his thing,
doing missions,
you know, with other women.
Yeah.
And she's just trying to keep the family together. And then eventually when she finds out that he's gone missing and she has to go search for him, she takes control, bruh. She takes control. She is strong. She's vulnerable. She's smart. And she's thick. I mean, not that that
is... T-H-I-C-C.
Yeah, not that that is a reason, but it doesn't hurt, you know. No. Little crush. Do I have a tiny little crush, I must say. Just because I know that she can stretch. No. No, Jody.
Sliding
snake. No, no, no. No, stop it. Stop it. But that's the main reason for it. It's not that she can stretch, but because of her character and how she takes care of everyone and she keeps in control. And in a crisis, she thinks on her feet.
Yep.
She adapts. She goes to that island. She's discovering all these things for the first time. And the way she moves and the way she infiltrates and all that stuff. The absolute best.
Love this character.
Right?
Absolutely love this character. In fact, I love her arc from movie one to two as well.
Yeah, so I wanted to talk about that because that's the first movie, right? And in the second movie, which happened like 20 years after the first one, it's kind of a rehash, but they flip it.
They flip it.
So she goes to work for someone and she begins superheroing it out.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, she is a way better superhero than her husband.
There's a lot less like collateral damage. She is focused on her missions.
Because
and her powers more interestingly used.
Exactly.
So I love I love Holly Hunter in as that character.
Yeah.
I think that her voice just has the perfect mix of like, you can connect to her, it's relatable.
Yeah.
But then she's also like the superhero.
Yeah. And I like how she can cut you out also.
Yeah. As a mom. Legit.
As a mom.
So I think she totally embodies what a lot of mothers are to us, which are superheroes.
Yeah.
Except she is a legit superhero.
Yeah. I mean, Elastigirl bike, also one of my favorite things. Where she can stretch and the wheels are still amazing.
Yeah. Definitely one of my favorite characters too.
Love her.
One of my favorite films as well. Can't, well, cannot disagree with your choice, man.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
I can't.
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
You fucking better not.
I won't.
GBV awareness, bro. You can't disagree with this.
Number two.
I have to put the scary movie in yet somewhere.
No, you don't.
I do.
No, Javelin Upshow.
I just want to see your reaction.
No, what fucking movie is that?
I'm going with Clarice Starling.
Okay, it's not that scary.
From Silence of the Lambs.
Okay.
Played by Jodie Foster. No relation, even though it's only our first names that are the same. Fault I need to clarify. Wow. I'm also not just putting her in here because her name's Jodie.
I think he is, though. I think that's legit one.
Yeah, maybe just a bit. So, Silence of the Lambs is, I mean, you just say it, it's one of the biggest films ever. Mm. It won the top, the big five awards at the Oscars in the year that it was nominated, which is Best Actor, Best Actress, Best Director, Best Film, and Best Screenplay.
Mm.
It cleaned up at the Oscars. I think that one of the major contributing factors to this film's success is that chemistry between Jodie Foster and Anthony Hopkins.
Yep.
And Jodie Foster playing this young female who's in a world that was not made for her. I mean, she's an FBI trainee agent when this film starts. She's thrust into like one of the major cases going around in America at that point in time. And she holds her own against this complete psychopath who is Dr. Lecter. She very convincingly shows us the vulnerable sides of Clarice, but also the strong side of the character that stands up in this male-dominated world, who takes charge in very difficult scenes, like when they have to do the autopsy, when they find the girl in the river and they have to perform the autopsy on the body, and all those guys are like just standing around and kind of budding, and she's like, all of you get out, you're going to do this thing now. She totally, totally embodied all of these aspects of the character and convincingly showed it to us. I think Clarice is like this brilliant analog for us as an audience coming into this world. She's young, she's relatable. We understand her difficulties. Her backstory is super interesting, with the connection with her father and also the foster family she goes to, and you know where the Silence of the Lambs thing comes from. She is a brilliant, brilliant character, and she's not only a plot device in this thing. She's actually a proper protagonist.
Yeah. Well, she can't be. Anthony Hopkins is not in the film for very long.
Yeah, people assume that he's just dominating the screen.
Yeah.
He's in this film for like, what, half an hour or less?
Less, bruh. Yeah. I think it's like closer to 15 minutes. She carries that thing throughout. I can't argue with that. She's amazing. And I do miss Jodie Foster.
Yeah.
No, she's a good director, but
yeah, I'm her acting. She's a brilliant, brilliant actress. So it's I don't know if she was it just a conscious decision for her to not.
Maybe you get the taste of that director's juju, and that's where you want to be. Yeah. You know,
I want
full control.
Uh-huh.
She looks like she likes full control too.
Look at me, I'm the director.
Silence of the Lambs is not that scary. I can handle that.
True.
It's grounded in reality. And there's no spooks.
There's no spooks whatsoever. They are psychopaths.
Yeah, for sure. I can handle a psychopath. I told you, I can watch a baby's head explode.
Why is that the whole thing? Why is that the touching off point?
Yes, because that's like the most gruesome thing I could think of, right?
Yeah, I agree.
But I don't like spook stories, and I don't like feeling that feeling. But anyway, back to Silence of the Lambs. Thumbs up. A number one for Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, man.
I'm number two now.
You're on your number two.
Okay. My number two is not an old movie. It's a movie from this year.
Yeah,
2020.
It's been a long 5 years, man.
I thought it was at least 2018.
Yeah.
My character is from the movie called The Hunt. I don't know how many people seen this movie.
I think it's one that flew under the radar.
100%. There was some controversy, but that's not what you're here for.
No.
We are here for the strong female characters.
Yes,
and the strong female character in this movie is Grace, played by Betty Gilpin.
Yeah.
So Betty Gilpin, her most famous role is from
Glow.
The female wrestling from the 80s.
Yeah. She's the blonde character who works with Alison Brie, who then becomes a producer.
This is not TV, Brasta.
Context.
But I'm sure people have seen her. Stunning woman.
Hashtag save Glow.
It's the hashtag too late. Hashtag save Ozone.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you can't speak about Grace without speaking a little bit about the plot. These people wake up, they don't know where they are, and they start getting hunted.
Yeah.
The best thing about Grace is you know nothing about them.
Yes.
And the people that are hunting them know nothing about them.
Yes. They think they do.
They think they do, but they don't. And Grace turns out to be quite capable.
Yes. Capable is an understatement.
I am understating it, but she can adapt.
Mm-hmm.
She ends up surviving and she ends up overcoming this entire situation.
Yeah.
She is super smart and she kicks ass, man.
Yeah.
But she's also a little crazy. I think that's why I like her so much. Because you as a viewer, you don't know a backstory. You just plowed in first into the situation. And there are hints throughout the film where she just goes a little crazy.
Yeah.
And it actually makes her character so much better.
Yeah.
Because, like, you don't know what this woman has been through. You don't know where she comes from. But she knows she's in a fucked up situation. And she's going to do whatever she can to get out of it.
Yeah. I think that our first introduction to her is when she's busy magnetizing the needle. To figure out where true north is.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay.
Okay, yeah.
Everyone else is like panicking, running around like mad. And what I love about the intro to this film is that they don't actually let us know clearly who our protagonist is. It takes a while to get to that point.
Yeah.
But we are immediately shown that she is practical. She is totally like placid and relaxed about
yeah.
this really weird situation. Mm. Just accepts where she is yeah. and she reacts. And boy, does she react.
She reacts so hard.
I must say, this is a film that sold Betty Gilpin to me as an action star.
Yeah, I mean, the film itself is okay. Mm. It's fun. It's a fun watch.
It's an interesting premise.
Yeah, but she totally carries it.
Yeah.
And I look forward to what she's going to do in the future.
Definitely.
Also, one of my favorite scenes is where she figures out that they're not in America.
Yeah. The way that she figures yeah. it out. Yeah.
But watch The Hunt if mm. you can. Very, very cool. And Betty mm-hmm. Gilpin. Grace, an amazing character. The thing is, the villain, once the villain is revealed, the villain is also female.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Villains can be women.
Villains can be women too.
Yeah. And when that comes to an end and the two of them battle it out, amazing.
Yeah, great climax of that film.
Yep.
Number one.
I think I've got an awesome choice for my number one.
I don't know.
I think I did.
You chose another Oscar winner.
I have gone with Ellen Ripley. And Ellen Ripley only from Alien and Aliens. We don't talk about Aliens.
Okay. Okay. Good. Just okay.
Just to clarify.
No. Yeah. I was gonna say something, and then okay.
Alien and Aliens.
Got it.
So, played by very amazingly played by Sigourney Weaver in these two films.
Yep.
I think that she completely redefined the role of woman in action horror / sci-fi films.
Definitely.
Alien is one of the best horror films ever made. And Aliens is one of the top sci-fi horror action movies ever made.
I actually like Alien.
I like.
No, I mean.
Oh, as a horror film. As a horror yeah. film.
I love it.
Well done.
Mm.
Nice.
See, I'm fucking multifaceted.
You can watch horror movies. Yeah. I can get scared sometimes.
I can get scared sometimes.
I think that the role of Ripley is, it's excellently portrayed. She goes through like this whole, the full gamut of emotion through like these yeah. two films. She's blown away by like the strange situation in Alien. It's something that is totally new to her. She's our like analog or our character that we see things through in this film.
Yeah.
She's believable. We feel the scares, all of those things. She's then also amazing as the action star in the second one.
Yep.
The reluctant action star. Who didn't want to go back to this world that scared the shit out of her and almost killed her. She only goes because she wants to save people, which I think is quite interesting because it immediately offsets her against like your typical 80s action stars from the time.
Yeah.
Your Stallones, your yeah. Schwarzeneggers, your Van Dammes who would have just gone there to go and kick ass.
Yeah.
So they immediately establish her as almost like because she's a woman, she's got these different motivations as to why she does what she does.
Mm.
And she's actually doing it for the right reasons. I think that she is definitely the heart of both of these films.
For sure.
Her character drives the story. We are rooting for her so hard. We feel everything with her. She really drives these movies from beginning to end. She goes from being both a survivor to also being this like proper heroine. Like
yeah.
someone who is badass. Someone who is totally. Kicking alien butt, who is she's saving
alien
she's butt. Saving people. I mean, remember in the second movie we get to the planet and she's there with like these hardcore soldiers.
Yeah.
Like mainly men. Like there's one female character in that team, but it's like mercenary guys, like yeah. you know, chewing cigars,
yeah.
huge guns, sweaty, doing pull ups and push ups and
ooh,
stuff.
Sounds like a good time.
Sounds like fun. Catch my Thursday session. but she's in both of in all these worlds, it feels like she belongs.
Yeah.
Like she is there, she's believable, she's just brilliant. I think that Sigourney Weaver set the bar for female action characters.
Yes.
With this role.
And you wouldn't think that she would be an iconic action star prior to this.
No.
One of my favorite moments is when she's in that
the robot.
Yeah, and get away from her, you bitch.
Get away from her, you bitch.
Yeah.
And first
and then ever. Matrix Reloaded like rips off the robots like 30-odd years later.
Yeah, well fuck. Mm-hmm. Alien, Aliens. Mm-hmm. Alien, a horror movie that I love, mm-hmm. and Aliens absolute classic. Mm-hmm. And it would not have been possible without her.
Definitely. She makes it. She brings it to life. Sigourney Weaver.
And it sort of set down this trajectory where she can basically do anything, yeah, right? Sigourney Weaver.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Galaxy Quest, one of our favorites.
Mm-hmm.
But you will always go back to mm-hmm. Ripley. And she did go back, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But
way too many times. Look, there.
By those two films.
There's talk of Neil Blomkamp doing a sequel.
Yeah. If he's going to give me another Elysium, he must fuck
no,
me.
No, no, no. Let's hope it's more in the line of District 9. But what he's going to do is to continue the story of Ripley with
Believe
Hicks.
It or not.
With Hicks and what's the girl's name?
Yes.
So they're going to totally disregard 3 and 4 and carry on from 2, where Hicks and I can't remember the little girl.
It's interesting that you bring
where they are still alive. So I'm hoping if that ever happens that we get to see that Ripley and not the shit that happened in part 3 and 4.
It's interesting that you bring this up.
Why is that?
Because that leads into my number one.
Does it now?
Talk about like iconic action female stars, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the same situation because the one that I'm going to talk about is also legendary for this role. And that is Sarah Connor.
Sarah Connor.
Sarah Connor.
Sarah Connor.
From the Terminator franchise.
Oh, come with me now if you want to live.
Come with me if you want to live.
Come with me if you want to. Sarah Connor. From Terminator and Terminator 2.
Judgment Day.
Only.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
We don't talk about Dark Fate. Played by Linda Hamilton, who, according to some, is not your regular Hollywood beauty, right?
Yeah.
I think there was a situation where they were questioning her as a sort of lead, and then James Cameron defended her and so on. But anyway, I can't remember the details of it. Yeah. So, again, I think that there's a theme here because I love progression of characters and growth and, you know, overcoming of circumstances. And in the first Terminator, she's a regular person.
Yeah.
She's a waitress.
Yeah.
And the circumstances that she faces is like bananas, if you think about it. This machine.
You know, everyday batshit crazy.
Yeah. This death machine is coming to kill you. And we kind of live through her and see how she learns, first of all, what's happening and how she adapts to what's happening. She's not like the super big action star in the first film, but after she is the one that kills the Terminator.
Yes.
After Kyle dies, and then she's the one, that iconic line.
You're terminated, fucker.
And she presses that thing. And it's like, cool. And if it ended there, I would have still been happy.
Yeah.
It's a good story. She's a good character. She, you know, overcomes quite a bit.
Mm.
But what makes it so special is Terminator 2 Judgment.
Her evolution.
My God, what a fucking evolution, right? The wife beater.
The glow up.
The glow up. Like fucking doing chin ups in the mental institution.
And she was legit, eh? I mean,
totally legit. You could see it.
Yeah.
You could see it.
I mean, fun fact for the fans, that this was a time when like action stars didn't really necessarily go and like train for a movie and things.
No.
Linda Hamilton went full hog. Yep. She did weapons training. She did physical, like she built muscle for this movie.
The only other person that did it was Taylor Lautner.
Yeah, because that was such a relatable.
I kid.
So like the way that she, the effort that she made, from 1 to 2, for me that was insane.
Yeah, that's like real effort that she made. But as a character, she had taken what she had learned from the first movie and adapted in the second movie.
Definitely.
Badass is not even a fucking word to describe her, right? Shotguns, vest out, military pants, protecting her fucking son.
Don't forget the Ray-Bans.
Iconic. I have a pair.
Don't forget the Barnock.
I wear it and I feel just like Linda Hamilton. Mm-hmm. I don't look as good in the vest though.
No, can't do a pull-up either.
Well, I can pull up to the drive-thru.
To pick up your movie.
So, Linda Hamilton's twin is actually in
I didn't know that she had a twin.
Yeah, she had a twin. Because there's a scene when she's supposed to be looking in a mirror.
Yes.
That's actually a twin.
Yeah.
So the fact that she can play both the every woman in the first movie and the crazy badass killer gangster in the second movie is a testament to her as an actress and that character. I watch these movies every year.
I think something that is underestimated with her character is the... She also portrays a sense of like post-traumatic stress from the events of part one. So after that, like we don't see all of the backstory between part one and two, right?
Yeah.
So John Connor is now born.
He's John
alive.
Connor.
John Connor is alive.
Yeah.
He's with the Foster family. Yeah. And her character is actually in a mental institution because no one believes her that there's a robot coming back and going to try and kill her.
Yeah, she was diagnosed with like schizophrenia or something like that because she... I mean, who, if someone came to you and told that story also...
Man, I give them a fair shake.
There's a giant Austrian robot coming to kill me.
But she does it so well, man. Like, there's all the scenes of strength, right? Where we see the training, the ability with the weapons, all of those things. But she also does the vulnerable bits.
When she sees him for the first time.
When she sees him for the first time, where she has to make the decision to leave her son and the Terminator to go and do the tough thing and kill the guy who's going to cause, you know, the whole takeover and stuff. You see her character battling with that. And she... I don't feel as though we would have felt that same or seen that same level of difficulty, the emotion behind it, if that was a male character doing it.
Yeah.
I think that she embodies everything that's amazing about women. The fact that they, more often than not, and more often than what men do, have to make sacrifices and difficult decisions, but still do the thing that they believe is best and right because it's the right thing to do. I think she represents that for me in this film.
Yeah.
All the other stuff is brilliant. Like, she's so convincing as the action star.
So convincing.
She's so convincing as the person who is going to save everyone, like her son, and get him to where he needs to be from this apocalypse.
Mm.
But that vulnerability, like the counterpoint of seeing her being vulnerable, enhances all of that for me.
So even in the Terminator Dark Fate, which came out last year, they did the same thing that Blomkamp is trying to do, where they discounted the
like four movies.
And this is sort of a continuation for that. Even though that movie wasn't great, she still had that spark.
She's convincing as that character.
Yep.
Like, I mean, so many people have played Sarah Connor in between. Lena Headey from...
Yes, that was a good show.
Yeah.
We're not TV brasa.
But in any case, Lena Headey played her. What's her name? Emilia Clarke also played a version of Sarah Connor in one of the disregarded movies.
Yeah.
No one else. Once you see Linda Hamilton in that role, no one else can
She didn't want to come back, though.
Yeah, because there's some behind-the-scenes show. Yeah. So you mentioned James Cameron earlier.
They were married.
They were married in real life. And they had a really bad
tough split.
Yeah. And she was just like, I'm done with this franchise.
But didn't he also have a tough split with his other ex-wife?
Yeah, I think James Cameron
was... Catherine Bigelow.
Yes, he's just a really shitty person.
He is, yeah. He must fuck up under the sea.
He could stay under the sea.
Build yourself a little kingdom.
Go live in a pineapple under the sea.
So I think our top two picks are the right picks and the only picks.
I think our top two is the only picks. Funnily enough, same kind of character growth. You know, women who are...
Sci-fi.
Not just the sci-fi, but the fact that they are put in these positions where they need to react and they are easily relatable. They're like the every woman and they grow into something more. They grow into these iconic characters who, for me, top two action female stars of all time.
All time.
Overcome, bruh.
Overcome 2020.
Nice.
2021 is going to be worse. I'm bad.
Bruh,
so how much do you want to bet?
No, I'm not going to. There's none of that like 2021's my year.
No. None of it's like I'm going to see how this plays
We're
out.
We're going tentatively.
It's Retromendations. Verna Lass.
So, kind of continuing with the theme of GBV awareness, we thought we'd dive into a couple of films that particularly highlight the impact and effect that GBV has on society.
Yeah.
You want to go first?
I'll go first. My one, As with most movies from my past, I watched it way too young.
Way too young in my case, yeah, too.
It was actually a recommendation from my mother. This movie resonated with her, and she said I should watch it, and I did, and it was kind of fucked up.
She should have waited.
So the movie's called Once Were Warriors. It's from 1994.
Brilliant.
It's based on a novel by Alan Duff. Centers around the Eke family, which they are Maoris.
Mm.
And it shows the realities of, like, the poverty that they live in. Mm-hmm. There's issues with alcoholism and domestic violence.
Yeah.
That's a big thing.
Mm.
But alcoholism, that's kind of its own character in this fucking
film. Yeah, and a big part of, a big issue within Maori culture.
Exactly, which is, it relates to South Africa currently.
Very much.
If you just look at when lockdown happened and there was the ban on alcohol, hospital visits dropped out, like in the ICUs and so on. So it's all related. And this film is, I actually have a quote from a review. It's a brutal sledgehammer of a film.
It is. That's accurate.
I couldn't find better words to describe it. It is not a comfortable watch.
Mm.
But what I love about it also is that it doesn't only show the bad times. It shows the good times as well, which is how I feel a lot of these women get stuck in these relationships.
Yeah.
Because there are good sides to it. There are good times to it.
Mm.
And they do love the people that abuse them.
Yeah.
But the abuse is a big theme, yeah?
Yes.
So Jake Eke is the father, and he's played by Tamara Morrison, who you will recognize from other
movies. He went on to be Aquaman's dad in...
Yes, he's Aquaman's dad, but he's also Boba Fett.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is more important.
Yes.
Beth Eke is... I haven't seen this woman in any other film. Renee Owen.
Mm.
Amazing. Mm. Both of them are... amazing in this film, and she is strong, but she's just trying to keep the family together.
Yeah,
and she's trying to survive. They're all trying to survive. Mm. That's what's amazing about this film, because they are culturally, they have this rich past, but because of being disadvantaged and where they are now, it's almost like they are stuck. And you can see the frustration in the father. You can see the frustration in the kids.
Mm.
You can see the frustration in the mother.
Yeah,
I don't know if there's another film that just kicked me as hard as this one.
Yeah.
I would say it's so real, it's so gritty, and it gives you a good insight into what domestic violence can do and how it can destroy families, basically, and alcoholism as well. Like, I haven't watched it in, like, a long time.
It's not easy to rewatch.
Yeah.
It's not something you're going to, like, sit out and be like, I'm in the mood for
I think I was a teenager.
Yeah.
Like, early teens.
Yeah, I was about 10 or 11 when I saw it.
Holy shit! And you're saying I was too young.
How old were you?
Probably that age.
Exactly.
No, but, like, was the recommendation from your mother?
Well, for me, it was that I had gone to New Zealand on the rugby tour when I was young. And... then this movie comes out about New Zealand and stuff, and like, I want to see it. I think that all the points you made are, like, I agree with them 100%. The thing for me is that it's brutally honest.
Mm.
Like, emphasis on brutal.
Yeah.
And it's also incredibly relatable, I think, particularly in South Africa for the colored community.
Mm.
I think it's something that we see this playing out in our communities here. So it's something that, like I told you, it's, I don't think I'm ever going to set out to, like, hey, I'm really in the mood to watch this film.
Yeah.
But it is a movie that I think people should see.
It's important.
It's an important film.
And it's there are so many things you can relate to. You're 100% correct.
There are scenes that stick in your head in this movie. Yeah.
Fuck, man.
Whew.
Whew, indeed. Okay,
so mine isn't really any light.
No.
I've gone for Room, based on the book by the same name, and particularly because I love the performance of Brie Larson.
Not The Room.
Not The Room.
No.
Not the room. Room.
Yeah.
Brie Larson won the Oscar for this for Best Actress.
Yeah.
Her character and Jacob Tremblay, who plays her son, are essentially locked up in a room by a faceless man who we don't really see. And a lot of the story is told through the viewpoint of her son.
Yeah.
Which is a very interesting perspective for us. But Brie Larson has an absolute powerhouse of a performance in this movie. I cannot disagree with her getting the Best Actress Oscar for it.
Yeah.
I think it also helped to catapult her into not mainstream Hollywood, but almost to a league of being accepted as a good actress, as a valid actress, and not just someone who was like in. I mean, she started on like Disney or something
like Scott Pilgrim.
Scott Pilgrim, you know, she was very much like a kiddie actor, and now she is legit. She's like really legit. Seeing all the decisions that her character has to make, the tough choices she has to make, the way that she still makes life livable for her son, because her son is her focus throughout.
He knows nothing else.
He only knows the space. He only knows room. He doesn't know about the rest of the world other than what they can see through, like, what, the window or something.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that she has to put up with this man coming down and every so often raping her, essentially, and finding ways to keep her son safe from that.
Yeah.
She does all of this. She survives all of this. They eventually get out. And then we see the effects, the full effects of post-traumatic stress syndrome on a person who essentially is like, typically at this point in the movie, it's like, you're free, go and be happy.
Yeah.
And we see the real impact of having totally bottled things up yourself, of having focused on someone else's welfare all the time.
Yeah.
And how that impacts on you as a person.
Yeah, that's what I love, because she starts to, when she's out, she starts to project onto the son.
Yeah.
And that, you know, she's concerned about him adapting and his well-being. But it's her that needs more help. Obviously.
Exactly. It's something that is... It's this one is not necessarily as relatable, I think, as your choice for us, but...
But PTSD is PTSD.
Exactly. And I think that, to be honest, in society right now, this story is scarily possible.
Yeah.
Something like this happening. In fact, probably variations of it is happening, where women are trapped in a marriage and they do the things that they do because of the kids and...
Yeah.
And the loved ones around him. So I think this movie it's powerful. It's amazingly acted. It's something that I recommend that people see. But for me, it's not something I can watch often.
Yeah.
It's a bit easier to watch than your one. But again, it's not something that I'm going to, like, hey, it's Friday night. Let's put on.
No,
that type of
thing. I love this film, though, as well. It took me by surprise because I'd heard about it. And then I just put it on and... Important as well. And Brie Larson, man. Fucking justice.
She's legit.
I don't even know how to segue.
Into anything.
Well,
I guess we can just segue into a big middle finger once again for any perpetrators of gender-based violence. Hopefully people out there who are caught up in these types of situations can find the help that they need. And for all of our fans and listeners, do what you can to make people aware of this, guys. So, there is also a helpline that you guys can call at the Gender-Based Violence Command Center. It is 0800-428-428. It also has a Please Call Me facility, which you can access by dialing *120*7867#. So, that's 0800-428-428 or the Please Call Me facility at *120*7867#.
Thanks, Jody. And on that note... We're going to end this one.
to everyone out there.
Yeah, no, fuck, man. Look, you can contact us at bicycleprasa@gmail.com or catch us on Instagram, bicycleprasa podcast. you also forget.
Yeah.
Bicycleprasa podcast on Instagram. Message us with whatever. Start emailing us, please.
Yeah, man. Our email is highly inactive.
Our emails is just full of things that we signed up for. I'm tired of getting like fucking take a lot.
We would love to hear from you guys. So send us a mail every now and again. Insta isn't
like, even if it's just to say hi.
Yeah. Love to hear from you guys.
All right. Well, stay safe.
Mm-hmm.
All females, stay safe.
Yeah.
Jody, you stay safe.
You stay safe, Ross.
And we'll catch you next time.
Safe, guys.